Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you through all the generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. I love this reference to covenant and dwelling this morning with the children in this mystery of what it means to be part of God's ohana, God's family. I feel a tender presence that is moving through us and binding us together. Abraham's journey is such a powerful and dramatic witness to this one personal and universal God involving a call into an unknown land, and then a call into this everlasting covenant. The unexpected promise of an heir and the visit by the angels outside Abraham's tent. God shows up in the life of Abraham and in us. God is promising, even sealing in a new way, this covenant by giving new names. Abram becomes Abraham, and Sarai becomes Sarah. And they embrace a new sense of self, an expansive understanding of what it means to be alive and human and beloved and carried and guided. And we too are given this name in the tenderness of our hearts in this moment in our world and in our lives. We can, in this season of Lent, recall our journey into a deeper sense of self. And maybe there's nothing more reassuring in our human journey than a promise, a really good promise, a divine promise that can't be broken, a promise that brings life and freedom for the fullness of life. When I was 18, I chose to be adopted by my stepfather. I had waited a few years, and I'd wanted this for a long time, to change my last name to what it is now. And in this adoption, this legal process, I experienced a new understanding of myself and my life, and a foundation of what family is and love and commitment. It gave me, especially since I chose this, a sense of strength and resolve and identity. I even got a new birth certificate, which never ceases to amaze me. I don't say that very often, but my birth certificate has my adopted name on it, although I was born into a different name. So I was literally reborn. And that's a mystery I carry with me. I was 18, it was many years ago. And names are profound and mysterious and sacred and holy, and they carry us into a greater sense of self. And in my spiritual journey, as I read the scriptures after that and into my 20s and beyond, I started to understand how all of us as humans are adopted, all of us are adopted by God through their faith. And I started to understand on a personal level what this really meant, that we become God's children. Children that we learn in the Gospel of John who are born not of blood or of the will or of the flesh or of the will of someone, but of God. We are born of God, and we are born of God's love. So, in my own experience of renaming, my faith became tangible and real. I understood immediately God had adopted me. And I think I had chosen this adoption and said, "Yes, God, here I am." We are all adopted into God's family, as we remember in this promise first given to Abraham and Sarah, when their names are also changed and passed down from covenant to covenant to renewal of covenant. I'm not sure why the word covenant feels so grounding and powerful. Last week we remembered the covenant to Noah, given to humanity and all the creatures, really swept up into that primal covenant of God in relationship, God in a sense of family with us and all living things. And then today, this special covenant with Abraham and Sarah, this great promise when he's 99 and certainly thought his life was fading and ending and receding, and that his most dramatic journey was behind him, and yet at 99 to have the presence of God call him into an eternity that's so great. The descendants are as numerous as the stars, and we are this cosmic realm of descendants, more numerous than the grains of sand in the ocean, remembering this sacred adoption, that God chose us, as we learn in the letter to the Ephesians, that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. This cosmic sense of Christ is always so mind-bending and expansive, to know that we're not just called and named and known and wonderfully made, but that we've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world and destined for adoption as his children through God, through Christ. Many people have a naming story, and I wonder if you have your own, either a naming or a renaming or a nicknaming or just a moment when you are recognized and discovered a new sense of yourself and your identity. I wonder if God were to give you a new name to represent not just who you are, but who you are becoming and what you are part of, including what follows you, what emerges from you and through you, what would this name be? And maybe it's just a feeling. Maybe not a word with letters in the frame of language, but just a sense of being known and recognized. Is there a name for you that needs to emerge? In this season of Lent, we discover greater depths of our being, and we journey into an awakening every year, more deeply, more intimately. And sometimes this season is about remembering what we could do better, remembering that we're drifting, that we could come back, maybe a sense of burden in the ways in which we have fallen away from our true identity or our true close relationship with God. But I think also, if that is part of our journey in Lent, maybe more powerfully, more intimately, and more real is the journey of God to us, which is all powerful, all beautiful, all loving, and deeply intimate, to be known, wonderfully made, loved, and called. I think that is God's journey in Lent towards us, no matter where we may feel adrift or far apart. In the psalm, one of the ones I love so much, that talks about this true identity, Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. For it was you who formed me in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And so we are all called to be children of God, into the vastness of God's creation at the same time, part of something so awesome, immersed in this infinite, expansive understanding of ourselves. The journey of Lent is truly an amazing understanding that we are swept up in a great beauty of the world's soul, and we are known. And in our new name, whatever that may do be or feel like, it is a new life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote that Jesus does not call us to a new religion, but to a new life. And when I was adopted by my stepfather, and he became my adoptive father, and I was already calling him dad and father, I had a new sense of identity and commitment and life. And I think God is always moving towards us with compassion. And so, in this tender season, may we find our deepest selves, known to us or not, but felt and guided, and may we remember that God is moving towards us. And as we leave this space, in the words in the poem by Sarah Ra, may our mouths speak of God's goodness, may our arms hold those in need, may our feet walk towards justice, may our hearts trust its worth, and may our souls dance in God's grace, and may this be our rhythm again and again and again. May we go with courage and go with heart and go in peace. Amen.